There you are now. There you are. How you doing? Are you well? It's 2 minutes past 12. It is Wednesday, I believe, the 25th of March, 2020. And it's good to be back with you. Good to be back with you. Thanks for joining me on undoubtedly the worst live stream ever seen in the history of Google's YouTube. So there you are. Yeah, I'm even better again than I was on Monday. I'm feeling even better than I was on Monday. Thanks. We'll get that out of the way. I didn't come on here to talk about illnesses and stuff and all the rest of it. This microphone here might not be working. And the audio might be coming from the laptop mic, the inbuilt mic, meaning it won't be great. It's telling me the audio is being taken from this microphone. But I think there's an issue with it. In fact, yeah, I believe there is an issue with it. So I apologise for that. If it affects your viewing pleasure, I'll figure it out later on today and get it sorted for future use. So, got a few things that we can chat about for the next half an hour, 40 minutes or thereabouts. Thanks to Lucy Jane for the nice, kind words there, Lucy. I'm certainly a lot better than I was a few weeks ago, and I'm looking forward to getting back on the radio on Monday, because I've been working pretty hard the last 10 days or so on some production for the radio program and how it sounds. So it's going to be overhauled. Our sounds, our sweepers, our jingles, it's going to sound a little bit different when it returns on Monday at 5. So I'm looking forward to that. I really am. Do any of you live with somebody from a foreign country for whom English would be their second language? Just as a matter of interest. Do any of you live with a partner, a husband, a wife from Europe, France or Spain, where English is their second language? Well, I live with a woman for whom English is her second language. Her name is Caroline Tisseron, and she's from the northeast of France. And she's a polyglot of sorts. She's a very smart woman, speaks a number of languages. She's very busy, as it happens right now, working from home, enforced by the virus. So she's here, working downstairs, beavering away, because we approach March 31st, which, for those of you who have worked in the financial services industry, will know is approaching quarter end. Quarter end. It's a busy time for accountants and project managers. So she's working all the hours that the baby Jesus sends to get to the end of the month. So English is her second language, but she speaks lots of languages. And that often results in some English not being her first language. For me, anyway, I don't know how funny you find it, but there are occasions when she will say something, obviously in English because I don't speak French, and it reduces me to rolling around on the floor, kicking and screaming. I've actually thought of even writing a book, one of those pocketbooks. You know, little pocketbook with the Caroline isms. And it was such an occasion last night. We were sitting down last night having a chat. I was drinking a glass of stout, so I was. Not draft Guinness, but stout. Arthur's Finest, the original Guinness, on special in my local corner shop. 13.5% extra free. 500 millilitres for the price of 440 millilitres. And it's lovely, I don't mind telling you. And I'm sitting down. And the future Mrs. Allen, who doesn't speak English as her first language, very good speaker of English, it must be said, but often says some very funny things. She noted that I had been watching a documentary on Netflix during my convalescence. She's working away, and I'm watching the documentary with the sound turned down because I'm a considerate soul, am I? And this is the documentary I was watching. It's very good. It's actually one of the most bizarre true crime serial documentaries I've ever seen. And the man pictured there is Joe Exotic. Have you watched any of this? You have. It's very good, isn't it? And Joe runs, or ran, Joe's in jail now. There's the spoiler for you right there. Joe ran a zoo of sorts, I think in Florida, right? Or somewhere in the south anyway. You watched it, Richie, you must know. I know. My attention span. So I've added on, or indoors, the oft-mentioned future missus, is working away. Last night we were watching Dragon's Den or something. And the future Mrs. Allen says to me, is that thing you were watching on Netflix over yet? That thing you were watching. And I said, it is, I finished it. And she says to me, is it real, she says, or is it a docu-mockery? I said, what? Is it real life, she said, or is it a docu-mockery? I said, you wouldn't mean mockumentary by any chance, would you now? Docu-mockery. And that's the sort of thing that I've been talking about. The French person who, for whom English isn't their first language. A docu-mockery. Yeah. Got to file that one away for future use. If you haven't seen that Tiger King and you're looking for something to do while you're in lockdown, check it out. Docu-mockery. Kay Burley and Michael Gove pictured there. That's the Ginger Ninja who presents Kay Burley at breakfast for Sky News Monday to Thursday, 7 to 9 in the morning. It's hilarious. That's Michael Gove, the Chancellor of the Duchy of Lancaster, married to Sarah Vine, who writes for the Daily Mail. And we're going to hear a snippet in a moment of an interview between the Ginger Ninja and Penfold himself yesterday morning. Am I still streaming? I am. Okay. I hope I am. I might go down, you know. So we'll hear, maybe, I know every time I talk about the media, I often preface my remarks by saying, I've never heard anything like it in all my life. But this time I've never really fucking heard anything like it in all my life. So we'll hear it in a minute. Not all of it, just a snippet of it. Yeah. A docu-mockery. Was that real, that, or was it a docu-mockery? Right. So before we do that, then, we'll have a quick look at how the COVID-19 pandemic is being covered by the UK media today. Do check out Tiger King. It's very good. It's very, very good. I'm still streaming. And it might sound a bit tinny because I might not be broadcasting through this microphone here. It's all rigged up and it says that it is the one I am using. It says it is the one chosen. But I think I might be talking to you through the computer's own mic, which isn't great. So I apologise for that. There's fuck all I can do about it, Paddy. I don't know what to do. I've uninstalled it and then reinstalled it. Even though you don't have to uninstall those, you just plug them in and away you go. So at the moment, Sky and the BBC, just before I came up to studio, I had a look at what they were doing, and they're very much concerned about old jug ears there. The Prince of Wales has been, it's been confirmed that he's got COVID-19, but he's only displaying mild symptoms. And he's locked up with Camilla, his horsey-looking second wife. They're self-isolating, and they won't be seeing the parents anytime soon. Old Philip, who fantasized at one time about coming back as a virus, ironically, to wipe out humanity. The Duke of whatever the fuck. I can't remember. I've said it 1,000 times. What is he the Duke of? It's not the Duke of Kent. Not Cambridge. Anyway, it doesn't matter. So he won't be seeing his parents anytime soon. Okay. Is this fucking thing working, I wonder? Is it working? Is it working? Is it working? It seems to be. Oh, yeah, it might be. Okay. The worst fucking live stream ever. The BBG, not the BBC. Right, so he's got it and he's isolating himself. Good job. So that, just in case. Okay. The Daily Mail, the Times and the Telegraph got some very interesting perspectives on the COVID virusy thing. Before that, do you want to hear Michael Gove and Kate Burley? You do? Tell you what. We'll get rid of that. This is very unsophisticated now. I'll make this a little bit bigger. You'll be able to see my big baldy fucking head. I downloaded software to edit video, but I didn't have enough time to learn how to edit the video with the software. I don't read instruction manuals very well. I don't do that. There are two types of people on planet Earth. The person who reads the instruction manual and fucking enjoys it and has patience and just goes through the steps. And then the rest of the people in the world are like me. They get frustrated and they start fucking throwing things around like Basil Fawlty. I don't read instruction manuals, so somebody's going to have to show me how to use the editing software so that I could have showed you the video of Kay being interviewing Michael Gove yesterday. But we've got to make do with a shitty fucking screen grab and the audio. Because I'm shite, really, when it all boils down to it. Oh, Jesus. Okay. This was a 15-minute long interview. I've now narrowed it down to two cuts. Here's cut number one. This is Kay Burley, the Chancellor of the Duchy of Lancaster, Michael Gove, yesterday. And they're talking about, or at least Kay is, the fact that people just won't listen. And they need to be shocked into doing what it is that they are told to do. Because ever since yesterday, we've been told. We'll come back to what we were told in a minute. Here's Kay and Michael Gove. Have a listen. I'll turn my mic down so you can hear it.
Are we expecting hundreds, if not thousands, of deaths over the next 3 weeks?
It depends on what we do.
Well, we're locked down, people, aren't we? We're locking. People are at home.
Yes.
Most people are at home. If people do what you're asking, are we still expecting hundreds, if not thousands, of deaths before this curve starts to bottom out?
Well, there are two things, Kay. The first thing is we want to make sure that we limit infection. If we limit infection, then we can limit the pressure on the NHS and we can save more lives. And then the second thing, of course, is that we need to make the NHS stronger and more resilient. And that means that the ventilators that we are bringing on stream, the personal protection equipment that we are ordering, the additional NHS staff who've rallied to the cry to come back and to help, all of those resources and individuals can be deployed on the front line and we can save more lives. I don't want to get into a game of predicting what will happen. I simply want to act now with others in order to reduce the number of people who are at risk.
Give me a number, please, Mr. Gove. I'm giving the opportunity to shock people into staying at home. And that, in order to do that, it's to say, if you don't, then thousands more people will die.
Well, I think the thing is that anyone who wants to know how important it is to stay at home, if you look at what's been happening in Italy, if you listen to those on the front line of the NHS, it is clear. I don't think that people need any further recognition of the scale of what might happen unless everyone takes appropriate action to reduce infection than seeing the terrible scenes that have occurred in other countries.
True. I wonder if that's true, Mr. Gove, because we've got some pictures to show you. People, the tubes are absolutely packed this morning. People are not listening. They're not abiding by the 2 metre rule. We had our helicopter up over Battersea, Lewisham, that sort of area. That is the hotspot for the country at the moment for deaths of coronavirus. People are not listening. What they need is to be shocked into realising that if they continue to do this, I don't know, you tell me, hundreds, thousands more people will die? Tell me.
Right? Did you hear that? You did the end of it. There isn't any point in me over-egging that, is there? You've got a politician on television and he is being goaded by the presenter of a news programme, somebody who's meant to be, well, examining the issue, digging down into what it is the government and the government's advisors are saying we should do, supposed to be shining a light on it, trying to poke any holes that might be there in it. Burley is goading Gove, saying that people have to be shocked into doing what they're told. That's journalism in the 21st century. Yes, Richie, you've said this before. I know I have. So what does Gove say in response to this? Here's a bit more of it for you. Here we go. This is extraordinary to me. It really is.
It is the case that unless people take appropriate steps now, then the NHS will be under more strain. And if the NHS is under more strain, then those that we love, those that we care for most, are at risk of losing their lives. And we can talk about abstract numbers, but I think the most important thing for all of us is to recognise that the human relationships that we value depend on protecting those that we care about. All of us will have someone in our lives who we know may be vulnerable because of age or other factors. We love them. We want them to stay safe. The best way of keeping them safe is to stay at home, to limit time outside to that one piece of exercise every day or that minimum shopping. Okay. That's the most important thing.
But Mr. Gove, I'm a mother. You're a dad. Why are you tiptoeing through the raindrops here? Why don't you just tell people who are watching you, you know, our audience figures are through the roof at the moment, people are desperate for information. Why
yes.
don't you just tell them that unless they stay at home, hundreds and thousands of people will die? Why don't you just tell them that? That is something that will shock our viewers into realising that they can't go out, they can't go to the pub, they can't stand around in gatherings like we've seen this morning. It's continuing on.
Unless you stay at home, then the people you love most may die. Yes.
Thank you.
So after finally getting Gove to say, yes, people will die if you don't do what you're told, Burley says, thank you. Of course, it's propaganda. I see a number of your comments there. Of course, it's propaganda. We haven't had a robust media, a strong questioning media holding authority or authorities to account, I would say for decades now. It's decades. That's about as bad as I've ever heard it, really. I was watching that live yesterday morning. I grabbed it. I've got the video of it, of the entire interview. And I thought as I was watching it, I thought I'd seen it all, really. I didn't imagine that I could ever hear anything. You know, I thought we'd reached rock bottom in terms of the conduct of the presenters of the main or the major news programmes on UK television and radio today, but that took the cake. Burley's conduct there, it's extraordinary. After I finished with you on Monday, a number of you emailed me and sent me a link to the gov.uk website. And you said to me, Richie, on the gov.uk website, it's the government's website now, the government's website. It appears, Richie, that while Boris Johnson and Jeremy Corbyn, because the Labour Party is going along hand in hand with the government, while they are telling us that we need to lock down, we shouldn't go outside, that we might be arrested if we congregate in groups of more than two, while they're telling us we need to do that or else people will die, it seems that on their own website, Richie, the advice seems to be a bit different. And it is quite interesting, actually. This is the government's website. Again, I'm sorry for the lousy production values here, but I'll talk away while you read that. Status of COVID-19. As of 19th of March, COVID-19 is no longer considered to be a high consequence infectious disease. HCID, no longer. And it goes on to say how that conclusion was reached and by whom. No longer considered to be a high consequence infectious diseases in the UK. The Four Nations Public Health Group made an interim recommendation in January 2020 to classify it as HCID, but have decided to downgrade it now. Okay? That's kind of contradicting what the Prime Minister and his colleagues are saying. And then there's a clearer definition of HCID there. Acute infectious disease typically has a high case fatality rate, may not have effective prophylaxis or treatment, often difficult to recognise and detect rapidly, ability to spread in the community and within healthcare settings, requires an enhanced individual population and system response to ensure it is managed effectively, efficiently and safely. Well, according to gov.uk, it no longer requires an enhanced individual population and system response to ensure it is managed effectively, efficiently and safely. However, rushing through Parliament today is the UK equivalent, basically, of the Patriot Act, this COVID-19 Emergency Powers Bill, which is going to pass without a glitch today, given the police and the armed forces extraordinary powers over you and over me. I spoke to you on Monday. Johnson addressed the public, he addressed the nation on Monday evening and said that because people haven't been listening, we've now got to ban public gatherings. People can only go for one walk a day to exercise themselves. They should do it alone or with someone from their household. Failure to comply can result in fines by the police, blah, blah, blah. I mean, a few things happening of interest to us. In the West Midlands yesterday, this is in the Mirror, the Daily Mirror, some neighbours got together to have a barbecue because the weather has been unseasonably warm. It's been pretty warm the last couple. In fact, it's very warm today. And as a result of that, people have gone, sat in the parks. I go to the park twice a day and will continue to do so with my dogs. And I go running and I also occasionally go. By the end of today, I will have left the house about 5 times necessarily. I've had to exercise myself, exercise my dogs, and I've had to pop out to the supermarket. They're saying I shouldn't do that anyway. So the police rocked up, overturned the barbecue and poured cold water on it and warned the people there to disperse or they'd be arrested. This is in the West Midlands, according to the Mirror. The police are saying also, because of the hysterical response, and it isn't a hysterical response, it's a very measured, planned response to whatever this virus is, because I don't know what it is, whether it's a severe flu strain, I don't know what it is. The response was planned, of course. The police are saying that they're going to be overwhelmed by calls from the public snitching on their neighbours. They are being. In the Daily Mail today, you've got that story on BBC Radio 2 this morning and on Greater Manchester Radio. Police officers were saying that the public were inundating them already with phone calls, grassing up their neighbours for not complying with Boris Johnson's directives, which were issued on Monday, which will become law today, tonight, tomorrow, right? Interesting. These are interesting times. That's a cliche. We shouldn't deal in cliches, presenters. These are not interesting times. These are sinister times. But like we said on Monday, I think we said on Monday, some of the men and women whom we have been reading for many years and speaking to They not only predicted we would end up here, but pretty much they described it to a T, where we would end up. And this is the beginning of it, right? I didn't mention on Monday, I wanted to mention on Monday, because the European Union and the coverage of Brexit is obviously a big deal for us and for this nonsense, this live stream, but also for the Richie Allen radio show. It occurred to me last week or the week before, on my sickbed, I thought, well, the transition period whereby after the UK left the European Union on January 31st, which it didn't really, supposed to have left, but we didn't really, there would be a transition period to run until December 31st this year, where basically the UK stays in close alignment with the European Union on everything to give them a chance to iron out the trade deal. It's my belief that because of COVID-19, the transition period will have to be extended indefinitely. The UK will stay in very close alignment with the European Union. And after all of this nonsense goes away, or dies down because it won't ever go away, it will be proposed that moving away from the European Union, in terms of moving away from the European Union, diverging, which is a word they use all the time, it won't be a good idea because it will have consequences when we are faced by pandemics or crises like the one we are in at the moment. Okay. Right? Okay. Where are we? 28 minutes past 12. There's a few more things I want to talk about. Thanks for watching it, by the way. And for commenting and tweeting. Not tweeting, but for commenting amongst yourselves there. Really appreciate it. I'll go through a few of them randomly now in a minute. Just randomly pick out one or two. Randomly. So snitch on your neighbours. Tell Big Brother that your neighbours are not doing what they were told by Big Brother. And by not doing it, your neighbours are putting everybody at risk. Get rid of that. You get rid of that too. Let me get rid of that. Let me get rid of that. There you are. All right. All right. The consequences of borrowing billions and billions of pounds in the UK and in the US, trillions. Okay? Been following Steve Mnuchin, you have? Treasury Secretary. $2 trillion deal to boost the US economy. Effectively, the Fed saying, here's $2 trillion. Dollars for you, right? It's a loan of $2 trillion. In the UK it's billions, hundreds of billions. So in the Telegraph today, the consequences of this will be stark. Future generations will face higher taxes, but that is a price that we must pay. Yeah, because central banks are to countries, nation states, what the filthy fucking loan shark is to the working man who's got nothing, can't get money from anywhere, and has got to go to the local money lender. Central banks are to nation states what the filthy criminal fucking money lender is to the poor bastard who finds himself at risk of getting kicked out of his house because he can't pay the rent. So he goes to the moneylender. The moneylender gives him a high VIG, high interest, and says, I'll break your fucking legs if you don't make your payments. Central banks, bankrupt countries. Deliberately. I'm not going to stay on this because I know you've heard me say this a million times. And they then take everything of any real value from those countries. And then insist that the governments of those countries cease public spending to the detriment of vital public services. And also, you've got to raise taxes on people to pay for the bailout that you needed during the pandemic. And of course, as I said on Monday, the virus is a wonderful thing now, because governments can't be blamed now. In 2008, they blamed casino banking. Of course, it was a load of bollocks. It was carefully planned, the recession of 2008. Like every other seven-year recessions, 7 years normally between them. They blame casino banking. Goldman Sachs, Bear Stearns, Freddie and Fannie, all the rest of it. Dodgy traders. When that wasn't the fucking half of what went on that led up to what happened in 2008. So the virus is a wonderful thing, because governments can say next year, 2022, 2023, we're fucked, but it's not our fault. The virus has got to pay back the money we owe. To who? There's a number of articles today in the press about the fact that belts will have to be tightened, inevitably, in the very near future. Philip Johnson, in The Telegraph, takes a different point of view to Jeremy there. I hope we haven't overreacted to coronavirus and wrecked my grandson's future, says Philip Johnson. This is interesting. I can find it, because he goes into some detail, does Philip Johnson, about what these loans and bailouts are going to mean for people in the future. Let me just bring this up. He writes, amid a national economic shutdown and restrictions on personal liberty, the likes of which we have never seen, it must be asked if we have embarked on the greatest series of policy blunders in recent history. He goes on to talk about Trump's tweet then, about the cure being worse than the problem. Indeed, is this really the national emergency that Johnson said warrants the authoritarian powers taken by the government? We keep being assured by the boffins that for the vast majority of people this will be a mild illness. Though it depends what you mean by mild, since if it is like flu, it will make you feel pretty wretched. But most people who get it will recover. It is essential they are tested and can return to work as quickly as possible. Moreover, one estimate that 300,000 people may currently have or have had the virus in the UK puts the mortality rate into a different context. It is almost certainly a lot lower than we fear, even if the overall number will appear high. And the number of... Peter Hitchens, writing for the Mail on Sunday, talked about this on Monday, spoke to a number of experts that you're not hearing on the BBC or on Sky. And they said that of those who do get the virus, 0.05% of them could expect to die. So that's not half of 1%, no, 0.05%. 0.05% of those who get it could expect it to be so severe they would die. We've had flu strains. Flu strains with a higher mortality rate. So why the shutdown of every business practically in the country, costing the employees, most of whom are only a couple of months away from fucking losing everything. Most of us are in this fucking Hunger Games society. We're a couple of months without any money coming in, away from the curb. From the fucking curb. The Chancellor says, don't worry, hundreds of billions. The Bank of England will buy our bonds, will buy our debt. It's a promissory note to pay the money back at a later stage, but with interest. And around and around and around and around we go. Each one is worse than the preceding one, with more profound and devastating consequences for ordinary men and women like you and me. This guy is writing Johnson in the Telegraph. He's writing effectively, what the fuck, like? What's really going on? Yeah. Yep. A big shout out there to gorgeous George Begonia. How you doing, George? You met me at the Trigger Warning event. I did, George. How you doing, mate? Nice to see you on here today. And I enjoyed meeting you at the Trigger Warning event, the meetup. I believe they're going to have another one, Hayden and Graham. Do check out triggerwarning.tv. Watch Trigger Warning on YouTube. Even if they have opposing views on different issues than the ones you have, check them out anyway. They're good fun and they're smart guys. They've got an interesting take on geopolitical things, so check them out. So that's where we're going with it. And the vaccine. Where's the vaccine for COVID-19? Well, the Guardian newspaper focusing on the vaccine today. When will it be ready? Is the question. Now, it is my belief, and I'm sure you've contemplated this yourself. I'm not smarter than you, remember? I'm sure this occurred to you as well. I believe that when the coronavirus vaccine is ready in the next couple of months, I believe that it will be mandated for most people. This is tyranny, but I believe it's inevitable. They will say that if you work anywhere, if you are working in a company, if you have a place of work, and you work for a man or a woman or a company or a corporation, you must have the vaccine. Otherwise, you won't be allowed to come to work. Herd immunity and all of that bullshit. Right? Teachers. Post office fucking workers. Bankers. Anybody, really. And people like me, who's effectively self-employed, I broadcast at your pleasure. I might think, well, I'm all right, me really. They can't fucking tell me I have to take it because I am autonomous. But it's my belief that they will attempt to overcome the self-employed, work from home men and women, by telling them that they won't be allowed to go to supermarkets. They won't be allowed or permitted to go to the beach. They won't be allowed to go to their national parks if you're not immunized against this, because it is deadly. Look at what happened, they will say. Look at what happened in February and March and April, they will say. You have to have this or, well, you're not a good citizen. Therefore, you will be confined. Limits will be placed on where you can go. I have no doubt that this is coming as well. They've been looking for reasons. Excuses. Excuse me. Crises. In order to give them the key to unlock that door, to say you've got to have this. And not only this one, but next year you've got to have it, because, well, COVID-19 is mutating all the time. So in the past, you've been able to tell your NHS doctor or nurse, surgery nurse, or the idiotic fucking receptionist. They're not all idiotic. My one is. Fucking idiot. Constantly after you about the flu jab. I get fucking sick of it. I just hang up on them. They do phone you when you've got asthma. Oh, you really should have. I don't want it. You really should have the flu jab. I don't want it. Why? Well, I'll tell you why. Ordinarily, I would tell you to fuck off and mind your own business. But I'll tell you why today. Because it doesn't fucking work most of the time. And I don't know what's in it. I don't want to put aluminium or fucking mercury in my body, thank you. So we've been able in the past to say, no, I don't want the fucking flu jab. And they badger you a little bit. There won't be any exemptions next year or the year after. Because they'll say COVID-19 is now COVID-21. And I mean, people will be punished for not having the vaccine. People who survive on the pittance given to them in benefits by their government will be told, as they were told in Australia, they'll be told, you will be deducted. You will have your vital assistance reduced to the point where you can't live unless you be a good citizen and get in and have your fucking COVID-21 vaccine. That's where it's all going. That's what I meant when I put the heading on this fucking live stream earlier. Where's it all headed? This is where it's headed. And wonderful film that I've mentioned a few times on the radio show, The Century of the Self, by the man who made The Power of Nightmares, Adam Curtis. Century of the Self is a wonderful film. Films ultimately about selfish individualism and how people have been reduced to selfish fucking individuals who don't give a fuck about anybody else other than themselves. To the point where they can't have or don't have normal relationships even with their spouse or their blood relatives. Selfish, narcissistic individuals. That was an agenda that preceded this, to make it easy to bring this in. To bring this in, what we're seeing now, with little or no opposition. To the point where I think a number of well-known individual, independent media commentators have said, quite rightly, that people are begging for more austere, harsher regulations. They're begging for them. No opposition to it. Not actually saying, what the motherfucking fuck is going on here? This is just a virus that most people won't have any problem with. You might have had it in December, for all you fucking know. You might have had it in January. You got over it. You don't have it now. So what's this all about? Bankrupting the fucking country. Putting people out on the street, which will be inevitably a consequence, will be an inevitable consequence in the coming weeks and months. No. Selfish individualism. Me, 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 me. People don't care. So there's no opposition to it. None. They've called for an army of volunteers, apparently. Watch the vaccine thing. They will make this a compulsory vaccine for every man, woman and child in the country. Or they will attempt to make it mandatory. Will they be successful? Will there be an outcry? I don't know. But they will attempt to make it mandatory. They will say nobody has the right to opt out. This is about everybody. This is the fucking irony, of course. It's about everybody, not about the individual, ironically. So you have to do it. You have to have it. This is making the news today. They want 25,000 volunteers. No, they don't. They want 250,000. 250,000. Because the NHS is at breaking point. Volunteers to help deal with the coronavirus. The coronavirus that a week ago was downgraded and no longer considered to be a high consequence infectious disease. Also in the Times, there is some decent fucking journalism around, not much, but recession could cost more lives than the virus. You better fucking believe it. More people will commit suicide than are killed by COVID-19 when they are driven insane with worry and stress because of the mountain of fucking debt being placed upon them by the government who has withdrawn their fucking livelihood. Just like that. Can't go to work. Hey? Recession will kill more. Of course it will. The virus is not going to kill many people at all, of course. It's fucking crazy, this. And if you break the rules, you'll have a criminal record. This is not only covered in the Times, it's covered in the Telegraph and in the Daily Mail. Anybody fined or detained by the police for breaking the rules and not staying indoors will have a criminal record. Let me read some of this. I can't find a fucking thing now. I'm about as useful as teats on a bull today. But anyway, it's there. What did I do with it? Big, ignorant, baldy, gammon bollocks, huh? Read it. It's in the Mail, it's in the Times. Right. Okay. And that's it, really. Just made me giggle because I have a very childish sense of humour. Porn stars in quarantine admit to masturbating quite a bit in order to alleviate the boredom of lockdown. It's in the Star. It's inside the Star today. Why not? Why the feck not, I say. 10-1 it is then. That's about it for me today. Sorry for the haphazard nature of this. And sorry for the sound of it. Let me just scroll through a few random messages, right? And if I don't read you out, I'm not censoring you. Hi to Amanda Thompson. How you doing, Amanda? Apparently, they're texting phones from gov.uk, she says. I've not had one yet, though I got a text marked as spam yesterday. On the bailouts, Jesus Jones says, and people will be paying that back, putting people into perpetual debt. You got that right. Robin Papalukas is a trucker in America. How you doing, Robin? How are you, Robin? Thanks very much for your comment today. The roads are still the same. People are out and about. No lockdown other than in some major cities. Yet even there, people are out and about, says Robin. Thanks, Robin. Yeah, because when I took the dogs to my local park yesterday, the park was bustling with activity. The children were using the playground. The weather was glorious. Glorious again today. We were stopping to chat with people who had their own dogs. I was. The future Mrs. Allen was buried in a mountain of fucking paperwork. And yeah, carry on. It's bollocks. Of course it's bollocks. Jason Campbell says, went to bed in the UK, woke up in the USSR. Thanks, Jason. Hi to Patricia Braunschweiler, who's on there this morning. How you doing, my friend? Great friend, Patricia, in Switzerland. What's happening there, Patricia? Hi to Alien Creation, to Dogs and Robson. Sooty's Rehab is there. Keith Skegwin is there. Again, thanks for the messages there. I reckon there's been a couple of hundred comments or more. To Lance. Lance is a lecturer in the UK. Everything is now online, writes Lance. No preparation, little guidance, lots of chaos. Students going AWOL. I am tech savvy, so surviving, but the colleagues, he says, are drowning. Cheers, mate. Hi to Maureen McAleer. Hi to Sean Inchcliffe. How you doing? Look, what I say here is conjecture. Hi to Mr. Sin. Thanks, my friend, my Irish mate. And thanks for your contribution today. That's really generous of you. Thanks, mate. I really appreciate it. These are my opinions. They're kind of learned opinions. I've been around the block a few times. I've seen these things before. But they're just my opinions. Bear that in mind. Hi to Joe Friday. How you doing, Joe? And I'll stop mentioning people now. And I'll take my leave of you. So I think we'll do it again on Friday. Lunchtime again. We'll have a chat. Just to mention again, the radio show is back on Monday at 5. And we're back to normal then. And I'm looking forward to that. To your company on the radio show. Thanks for putting up with me and sticking with me. I really appreciate it. Listen to lots and lots and lots of content. Give everybody an airing. Give everybody a hearing and an airing. Don't just listen to my old bollocks. Lots of opinions out there. Some of them are backed up with a little bit of info. Others are just opinions, but listen to everybody. Do check out fabradiointernational.com. Of course, Paul Ripley's wonderful project in Manchester. And triggerwarning.tv, the Trigger Warning YouTube channel, Graham and Hayden. Lots and lots of content. Hayden was telling me on The Dog and Bone yesterday that the guys are on air every night now. And it's all really good fun. It's very lighthearted and relaxed. Content is serious from time to time. It's serious, of course. But their approach is very genial and very interesting. Check them out, triggerwarning.tv. Right, I hope I haven't bored you too much. Take me leave of you. Back with you on Friday. Again, we're back to normal on Monday at 5 o'clock on richieallen.co.uk and the usual places you can hear the radio show. Enjoy the rest of your Wednesday. Don't worry about it. It's all going to be okay.